Well, hello and welcome. I'm Mark Little. This is our monthly session for the Advisor Pact monthly program. Thought since it's the holiday season, I would shake things up a little bit. As always, each month we get together for this session to address questions and issues that you have submitted through the course of the month. I typically pick one or two or three really good questions that have come in to us over the course of the month. And we do a more of a deep dive here. But as always, this is your opportunity for direct coaching. So if you've got any sort of an issue that you're dealing with in your practice, something dealing with a client, something dealing with staff, if you're just trying to implement what we're teaching in the modules, but you're encountering some sort of an obstacle, this is your opportunity. So as I go through the content today, as always, if something pops into your mind, something you're struggling with that you're trying to work through, then I encourage you to open your Zoom panel, look for the way to submit questions here while we're still together. And before we part company today, I will get to as many of those questions as I can. But as I said, this is holiday season, so I thought I'd consider giving you a Christmas present this month. And so we had a question coming in that we get fairly frequently, but I tend not to go through these. I usually just respond directly to if you were to ask a question like this, but I thought since it's holiday season, I'd give you a Christmas present, maybe answer this question and go through some advice that I've got regarding software or browser extensions that my team uses to help exceed ideal clients' expectations. So the question that I get quite often is, you know, Mark, I understand you've got the Trusted Advisor Toolkit that you use to coordinate the services of your efforts of your team for coordinating client progress meetings. But what other software do you use? What other this question caught my attention this month because they asked about browser extensions. And I thought, wow, I don't think I ever recall getting that question before. So I'm going to go through this and share some tools that I use. Now, there are some alternative tools out there to some of these, but I'm going to go through and tell you why we use the ones that we use. I'm going to go through a browser utility called OneTab. I'll explain why we use it and how it's helpful. It's become particularly useful in the Zoom era. It's kind of funny. Prior to the pandemic, I would say maybe 2 years ago, I never heard of Zoom. We were using GoToMeeting and other online tools for meeting with people, clients, and so forth. And then all of a sudden, Zoom came out of nowhere. Well, now we're all using Zoom a lot. And so, or at least I am. And so I'll show you how this browser utility can free up resources, because when you're online in a meeting like we are right now, I don't think you have any idea how many computer system resources are being used by Zoom and other things. So the ability to free up your computer to focus on, you know, creating a great experience for your client or whoever you're speaking with, so that you're not stuttering and freezing and all of that sort of thing. So I'll go through OneTab. I also, along that line, use a video app, which is also a browser extension called Loom. I'll go through that, why we use it, how we selected it. There are other alternatives to that one. You know, it occurred to me as I was thinking about this, this is not a browser extension, but it is an online application. This is something that I have found tremendously useful if you're in the market to hire an administrative support person. It's called Willow. So I'll go through Willow. It's not a tool that I use for recruiting or filling vacancies for subject matter experts, but if you're filling your administrative manager position or any administrative job, in your office? Like if you need, even just on a project basis, you need a virtual assistant to help do a project that you're working on. I use Willow and like it a lot. I'll go through that. This is going to sound boring because it's been around for like 10 years. I've used Evernote for 10 years to organize all my information for lightning fast access on across all of my devices. But again, there are alternatives that may be just as good, and I'll go through those, but I'll show you why I use Evernote and how it can be used in our environment serving clients. And then finally, I'm going to talk about Slack. Again, another tool that you may be familiar with, but I thought maybe it would be interesting. Well, for some of you, I've never mentioned that we use Slack on our team. There is a confusion in, on the part of financial advisors, in my opinion, about what the role of all these different software tools are. So, you know, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, some advisors think our software, that app, the toolkit, is a project management software. It's not really. Project management is more like Asana or Trello or something along that line. And it's used in addition to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. I'm not going to go through project management software. I use something different called Yanato instead of Asana, but I think Asana is the most widely used project management tool. We're not going to talk about project management, but I am going to talk about Slack because it's yet another one of these things. Well, if you have the Trusted Advisor Toolkit and you're using Asana to document your workflows, then what on earth do you need Slack for? So I'll talk about it's Slack's role. And I'm picking Slack because I think it's a particularly useful tool to encourage communication between team members. So let's take them one at a time. Let me first talk about OneTab. So as I said, OneTab is a browser extension. All right. And I'll show you in a minute where to find it and how to install it and all of that sort of thing. But what you use it for is when you have too many tabs open. Have you ever been in a browser? Now, one tab is only good for Chrome or Firefox. So if you're using something like Safari, one tab does not work with Safari. But I know many of you on the Mac and many of you on your PCs do use Chrome as a browser or Firefox. Those are actually the two browsers we recommend that you use. They are the least buggy and they work with the most apps, computer apps and browse and websites, you know, especially Firefox. Chrome is a little piggy when it comes to using tons of resources. And of course you got Google snooping around on what you're browsing. Firefox is more private, but it also uses a lot of system resources. The point I'm getting at with OneTab is, how many times have you looked up and you've got like 50 tabs open? It's just through the course of the day, you've got all these websites up and running and now you're about to join a Zoom meeting with a client. Well, I'm pointing out to you that every one of those tabs is, forgive me, taking up tremendous system resources. And it can really burden your machine as you're trying to free up resources so that you can have a really deliver a great experience to your client on Zoom or GoToMeeting or whatever online tool you're using. So I'm going to go through that. It helps free up system resources. You can find OneTab at www.one-tab.com. Here's what the website looks like. And you see here in their website, as a matter of fact, it's funny, they're showing on a Mac right here, but in this instance, notice here, this example, you have all these tabs open. Well, let me hop over and show you how I use OneTab. So I set up a Chrome browser here with tons of stuff that's open. We've got, you know, the Advisor Pack Monthly site open. I've got Bill Bachrach's website open. I've got Wealth Management Magazine open. I've got FA Mag open. So, and so forth. So this is the point I'm making. So let's say I'm about to start a Zoom meeting with you or with a client, let's say. So what can I do to get rid of all this that's taking, every one of these tabs is taking up a tremendous amount of system resources? Well, here, right here is one tab. I have installed it as an extension. Now, before I go over and show you how one tab works, let me show you on Chrome where to go find your extensions. So you go down, notice I clicked these little three dots up in the upper right-hand corner of Google Chrome. Click those three dots and I go down to More Tools. And when you open More Tools, there is a section called Extensions. Now this will show you what extensions you currently have installed. All right. So, and I've got a ton of browsers extensions already installed, but you could just Google it. If it shows you when you pull up your extensions, which ones are activated and which ones are turned off. This is another way to free up resources. Like if there's a browser extension that you don't use very often, you can always go turn it off in your extensions. It'll stay there installed. It's just not taking up system resources. But let's go to Google and let's try to Google, like Google extension store. So you can actually go to the Chrome Web Store and you can hunt for browser extensions. So here it's pulling up all these browser extensions that you could download and install on Google Chrome. Let me just put in one tab and see how easy it is to find. There it is, one tab. It's already installed. So in my case, it would say remove from Chrome because I'm going in the Chrome Web Store to something I already have installed. But I'm just showing you how easy it is to find these extensions. And if it was something that I did not have installed, it would say install on Chrome. And then you just click that install. And then it shows up here. These are all my browser extensions right here. And one tab is this one right here that looks like a funnel. All right. So I'm about to start a Zoom meeting. I know that I don't want all these tabs open because it just slows down my system and it could lead to a stuttery kind of losing unstable connection with Zoom. And so I think I need to clean this up right before I get on with the client. Well, here's my one tab extension. I'm going to click that. Now notice what happens. It takes a second, but it just gets rid of all of them, but they haven't really gone anywhere. Notice they are right here. So here's the Bill Bachrach website. Here's the Advisor Pack Monthly website. Here's Wealth Management Magazine. Here's Financial Advisor Magazine. I could click on any of these and open them back up. So I've got a quick list. Like if I needed for the meeting with the client, one of these sites, well, there it is. There's the list. After I'm finished with the Zoom meeting with the client, I want to kind of resume my work. Notice here, I don't know if you can read that. Let me make it a little bit bigger for you. It says that I had 13 tabs open. I can restore all of them in one click. So here we go. All of a sudden, notice they're all installing again. And there we go. It takes a minute because we're in a Zoom meeting right now. But there I was on Amazon. I was looking at this book, which I'll review in a minute with you. But there's Wealth Management Magazine and so forth. So it's going to take a minute for all these sites to open back up. But just notice how easy it was to get all those back open. I'm gonna shrink them down again one more time because I wanted to show you one other thing on one tab before we move on. So there they are again. All 13 tabs. Notice I have no tabs open. So all those system resources have been freed up. I wanted to show you one other thing, just a feature of one tab. There's a couple things I wanted to share with you. One is you could name this group. Like if this was, something that I'm going to use over and over again. I could name it. So my common sites. So I can actually name this group of 13 tabs, and I could even lock this group. So now notice it's got a little lock right there. So this is never going to be deleted. Even if I restored all these, if I restored all these tabs, this locked one tab grouping will always be there for me. The final thing I wanted to show you about one tab that I find very, very cool. Let's say I'm working for a client and they're asking me, you know, Mark, what do you recommend in terms of currency exchange? Because, you know, now that COVID's lessening a little bit, I think we're going to take our family to Europe this summer. And I need to get some currency exchange before we go, or anything for a client. Let's say a client asked you to go shop something for them. And let's say I found 13 websites that I want to show, go through with the client. And here they are, just hypothetically. You notice this link that says share as a web page. So let's click that and see what happens. What it does is it creates a listing just like we had a minute ago, but with a QR code. So if your client, if you sent your client this link right here, so it's this link right here that is this page that was created by OneTab. You could copy this link, embed it in an email. And when the client clicks this link, this will show up just like you're seeing it right now. They could aim their phone at this web page on their Mac or their computer, and it would open up all these sites on their mobile device, their tablet, or their phone. Or they could just one by one open them up right here. I'll often send a client four or five websites on various topics that I want to talk to them about. And then I'll call the client on the phone and say, hey, I just sent you an email. Click that link and it'll pull up the four or five or 10 or 13 websites that I want to walk through with them. And the point I'm getting at is you can package up a group of websites for a client very easily using OneTab. Okay, so that's one tab. Let's go back to and that's onetab.com. Let's go to the next tool that I use. Now, again, this is something that you may be familiar with. You may already be using, so bear with me. I'm going to show you how I use this app. It's also a Chrome extension. It's called Loom, and it's a video application. All right. It's www.loom.com. Now, the reason I say you may already be using this is because A, it is widely used, and B, I learned about this from an advisor. So many of the apps and extension browser extensions that I use, I actually learned about from one of you. So let me show you what Loom is. And first of all, there's the website for Loom. It's loom.com. And basically, their tagline is show it, say it, send it. So it's just a way to create a super quick video. And let me show you how I use it. So let me go back over to, let's go over here and let's see if I can find Loom. Here we go. All right. So Loom is a software as a service that's to create videos. Short videos is how I use it. So let's say I get an email from one of you advisors or from one of my clients where they're asking me something that's a pretty serious, complex issue. So I have a choice. I can sit down and write out a 30-minute response by email. I could type out take me 20 or 30 minutes to craft a well-designed email to respond to a question, or I could just create a Loom video. I find that in less than 5 minutes, I can share content like I am right now in a video that would take me 20 or 30 minutes if I were to type up those same thoughts in an email. So the way I use Loom is just literally to respond to you as people, advisors who have questions for me. But also, you know, I'm still an active advisor. I've got a handful of ideal clients. So when a client sends me an email, almost always I will create a Loom video in response. So let me show you how this works. You create a video by using the browser extension. So let me go back to this Amazon website that I was showing you a minute ago. I just happened to be sharing this book with an advisor yesterday. So this is a book called Who Not How. I think every financial advisor should read this book. Matter of fact, off the topic just for a second, Rick Barrera wrote a book that's available on Amazon called We Before Me. I believe it's one of the most powerful books for financial advisors, really any small business owner, because what it talks about is how to get up and running and operate and manage and lead a functional team. So, and which is what we're all about, right? We're building a team to serve our ideal clients, and you want to lead that team effectively. So I recommend that you read Rick Barrera's book, We Before Me. But I told Rick, who's a very close friend of mine, I said, Rick, that book is incredible. I think every financial advisor should read it. But were you aware that Dan Sullivan, who is the creator of the Strategic Coach Program, which I went through years ago, back at the turn of the century, back in early 2000s, I spent years in the Strategic Coach Program. Matter of fact, it was while I was in the Strategic Coach Program that I created everything that you're going through right now. This whole idea of building a team of five subject matter experts and how to coordinate all that service through them and how to get that team to exceed client expectations on a consistent basis. I created all of that concept work while I was in the Strategic Coach Program. But the point I'm getting at is not necessarily to pitch that program. It's to pitch a concept that was the breakthrough concept for me when I was in the Strategic Coach Program. So consider this a shortcut for you. If you're not in the Strategic Coach Program, then what I do recommend that you do is read this book. This is a book by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, sharing a concept that Dan shared with me back in 2003 that totally revolutionized my business. And they're saying that, and the premise of the book is, the problem with most small business owners is they get all wrapped up in how things need to be done. So, you know, let's say you have an idea for a new service for a client. What's the tendency of leaders like you and me? Entrepreneurial, fast moving, highly ambitious leaders like you and me. Well, we start thinking, well, if it's a great idea and somebody on our team came up with this great idea, then let's start talking about how to get this up and running. Let's stop talking and let's start doing. The premise of the book says that's a trap. And Dan Sullivan taught me back in 2003 that focusing on how is a trap. What you should always focus on when you have a new idea is who, not how. In other words, who am I going to go find who would be world-class at implementing this? And once we've brought somebody on board, a who, then they worry about the how. Why? Because they've already figured it out. So you tend to focus on who's that know what they're doing. This is where the concept of subject matter experts came to me. Dan Sullivan taught me who, not how, back in 2003, and that was a big light bulb moment for me. Maybe I'm slow, but it occurred to me, I get it. Rather than me be a one-stop shop for my clients where I'm a financial planner that is knowledgeable in taxes and money management and financial planning and risk and insurance and whatever I'm leaving out, as you know, estate planning and whatever, the five areas of personal finance, you know, well, prior to Dan Sullivan teaching me who, not how, I was the single point of contact serving my clients. What Dan got in my head was that's not even sustainable. For one thing, if I drop dead, where does that leave the clients? So it got me on this whole rampage to build a team of five subject matter experts. That's five who's, and let them focus on the how. So I've got a tax subject matter expert, and that individual is going to focus on how each of my individual ideal clients is going to have a comprehensive written lifetime tax strategy. And then I'm going to go find an extraordinary estate planning lawyer. That's my who. And I'm going to let that person, that who, figure out the how each of my ideal clients is going to implement a comprehensive written lifetime estate planning strategy. You get it? So just quick side trip. I recommend everybody read this book, Who Not How. So I was telling an advisor, you know, here's a book you should read. This came in the form of an email. So I copied that link and let's go back to Loom. So let's say while I'm in that book, I want to explain to the advisor in a quick 2-minute video what I just told you about this book. Well, here's my Loom browser extension. When you pull it up, notice here it's coming. It has an option when I pull up the browser extension of asking me, what am I wanting Loom to record once the video starts? So you have a choice of screen and camera or screen only, like just share my screen, what's on my computer, or camera only. So it can look at me without any distraction of showing screen sharing. So you have that choice. And then see where it says start recording? You get to set which microphone, which camera, all of that stuff. And then in the browser extension, you just start recording. So I'm sitting here on this page in Amazon, and I want to explain to the advisor why Who Not How is a book I recommend. So I pull up the website. I set it for screen and camera. So it's recording me and the screen. And then skip for now. Okay. So it's complaining at me, but I could have just, it timed out is what it did. I can just click this start recording and it would start a recording in Loom right then. All right. So what I want to do is go over and show you after I've recorded it. Let me scroll down a little bit and you can see I've created folders for these Loom videos, but here are some down here at the bottom that are ones that I created. All right. So you notice this one right here, this is one that's camera only. And then you have this one right here. If you look at it, let's pull it up. It's one that's where I'm sharing my screen and the camera as well. So let it pull up. Okay. So here's the video that was created. So it's a 3-minute video where I'm explaining something. This was actually a video on a different topic, but okay. So I've got the video. It took me 3 minutes to explain, you know, let's say read that book. There are some options before I send this out. Notice here on the left, this is while you're in Loom, you can set up something called a call to action. Well, what's a call to action? It's a button that shows up on top of the video you're about to send. So remember, I copied the URL link for that book. So there's the URL link to Amazon.com. I'm going to make the button say, click here for the book and save call to action. All right, so that's saved. Let me just test play the video and see what it looks like when I send this to the advisor. I want to see what it looks like from their perspective. So let's just play it here. See, there's a button that says click here for the book. So when they've paused or when they're watching it, there will be a button. And while it's playing, it'll be in the upper right-hand corner. And then after the video is played, it'll say click here for the book. And I'll always test it. And yep, there it goes. It's going right to that book in Amazon. So, okay, I wanted to show you could do a call to action. Now I'm ready to actually send this video to the advisor. So I click share. And there's several options. Like I could just copy the link to this Loom video and paste that. What I like to do is go over here to embed and notice it says copy GIF thumbnail. Let me do that. So I've copied what's called the GIF thumbnail. Now I've set up an email. So let's say I've set this email. Here's my video response to your question. And I just paste that GIF right here into the email. And see, it's a GIF, so it looks like a video. You can see my hands moving there in the GIF. So it's pretty intuitive with this image that's embedded in the email that I would send to you or anybody. It's obvious that you're supposed to click play, and you can see because of the motion that it is a video. Now, Loom is going to paste a header in along with the GIF. I tend to delete that so that the email that I'm sending says, you know, hey, Rick, here's my video response to your question. Here's the thing that they'll click and it'll take them straight to that Loom video. If you have any questions, give me a shout. And that's pretty much it. So that is Loom. And that's pretty much all I wanted to share about that. It allows you to create a short video that that you could send as an email in lieu of spending 20, 30 minutes typing out a carefully crafted email. So that's what I do. Now, I'm not even going to talk about compliance. I'll let you go through whatever compliance requirements are necessary for you to send a video email. But it's just, the question was, Mark, what applications and Chrome browsers do you use? Well, Loom is both, and I use it all the time, almost every day. All right, so what's next? Willow. Now, this is an application that is used when you're hiring. So let's say you're in the market for hiring an administrative manager or somebody for an administrative project that you're working on. I hire administrative people all the time, including like virtual assistants in the Philippines. You know, if we've got a project and I need somebody to do a repetitive task that we on our team just don't have time to do, I'll hire an administrative support person and just get them on board to do it. But if you're hiring an administrative manager or any administrative support person, I highly recommend willow.video. Okay, so what is it? Let me go over and show you what Willow is. Let's see. Here it is. Here's the Willow website. So what is Willow? Well, Willow is it solves the problem, especially with administrative support people, of screening through candidates. So one of the things that we recommend, and I'll go through this in a minute, is we recommend that you send out, this is one of the modules in the Advisor Pack Monthly Program, how did I hire an effective administrative manager in all of our 11 offices? Well, the way we did it was, you know, we sent out an email to everyone in my network. So the question is that enough? So what we recommend is, and I'll show you in a slide in a minute, but if after 3 weeks, the email that I broadcast out to all of my network is not generating enough candidates, well, then we do post on job boards as well. So if we need more candidates than we're getting from our network of referrals, then we do go in and post a posting. And I'll show you the websites where we do that. But the point is, the minute you use a job board, like you post the job availability up on any job board, the thing about administrative managers is you're trying to fill a position that everyone who's applying for it is really good at administrative things. So they're going to just keep it in your head that Bill Bachrach calls the administrative manager an administrative dynamo. So imagine this, you're posting on a job board, we're looking for an administrative person. You should expect that the very next thing that will happen is you'll get 50 or 100 responses. Even if they're not a good fit, they are administratively skilled, so they will respond even if it's not exactly a good fit for what you're looking for. So now you got a problem. If you use a job board, you're going to get tons of responses. The question is, I don't want to interview all these people. And so how do I sift through all these people that have responded? Well, that's where Willow comes in. So Willow is a site where you can post questions in advance that they have to record a response and get back with you. So let me go back to my slides for just a minute. So what are the kinds of questions that I would post on Willow? So you're an administrative manager. You see my post for my job that I'm seeking. What's the next step? Okay, well, in the job posting, I'll say click here, and it'll take them over to Willow. And it'll have a series of questions. And here are some questions that we typically use when we're interviewing administrative manager. So leadership is the number one skill that I'm looking for. So I'm not looking for an administrative person that's purely clerical, like someone who's good at typing and filing exclusively. I'm looking for someone that can coordinate a team of subject matter experts. You know, these are high-powered estate planning lawyer, high-powered tax accountant, high-powered financial planner. You know, so Bill Bachrach has called this herding cats, but I need an administrative manager that's more a manager, like administrative manager. Yes, they have to type fast. They have to have clerical skills. Absolutely. But I'm looking more for leadership. So I would ask a question like, share a time when your leadership on a project made a significant difference to the outcome. In other words, tell me about a project that you worked on where if not for your leadership, the project probably would not have unfolded properly or well or had a good outcome. So I post that question. And then on Willow, they get to press a button. And whenever they want, they can record a response to my question. And you can put a time limit on how short they can respond. You know, like if you don't want them giving you a 30-minute answer, you know, just set a limit on it. Second question I like them to ask is how will past coworkers describe your attention to detail? And they will record a little short video on that. Now, if the question is, how do I share these questions? I'll create a little Loom video where the question is typed out on Willow, but I will also have a Loom video explaining the question a little bit so that they get a sense of what I'm looking for. So they go on Willow. And so what does this second question convey to them? A, attention to detail is important in this job, but also we're going to be calling references. So we're just giving them a little heads up, you know, how, you know, and I'll explain it in the Loom video, but, you know, in this job, we're going to contact at least 5 references. And when we talk to your coworkers and others that have worked side by side with you, how will they describe your attention to detail? And then they get to use Willow to respond to a little to create a video that explains, you know, their thoughts on that question. All right. So, and then the third question I always pose is, describe a project where you were juggling an unreasonable number of action items. How did you prioritize your work so that you still got the project done on time, but, you know, you were in a situation at times during the project where it was an unreasonable amount of action items that you had to do something because you couldn't get them all done at once. So it conveys that prioritization is critical. And it also sort of implies we've got a lot going on over here. So we need somebody that can prioritize their work. So these are the 3 questions. Willow gives them an opportunity to record their response to each of these individual 3 questions. Then you, or in my case, I have my administrative manager. If we're hiring someone just to work on an admin project, I'll have my administrative manager look at all these responses. But you know, when you pull it up on Willow, as you're listening to their responses, and we usually give them 1 minute on each question as a response. So if they run out of time, it's kind of like a voicemail. They can re-record. They can keep taking another shot at the question until they get a succinct answer into the amount of time we're giving them as a deadline. But then either I or somebody on my staff will review all these responses, and it's kind of swipe left, swipe right sort of situation. You can decline and pass on that candidate, and then they'll get a polite disengagement email. You don't even have to mess with them. Or you can accept it, and then it will send them an automated email that you set up in advance saying, here's a scheduling link. I'd love to schedule an hour with you to go through some more questions. So, you know, but for every, I can tell you, for every 10 administrative support people that respond, we end up only interviewing 1 in 10 would be a lot. I'm telling you, there are a lot of administrative people where the way they communicate, the way, you know, you're going to be putting this individual in front of ideal clients if it's an administrative manager. So I'm looking at their presence. I'm looking at the way they dress and their background. They have control over all of that on how they put their little video response together. And trust me, If it's one out of every 30 that responds to an administrative support job, I'd be surprised. But the point is, this just organizes it and makes it easy to go through candidates quickly. Now, I do not do this for subject matter experts. It's a whole different process, and we have a module on that. One of the modules in this program is called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. It's a 12-step process that we have always used to fill every subject matter expert vacancy, all five of them, in less than 60 days each. So we do not use Willow for SMEs, but if after 3 weeks, and we've broadcast out this email to get everyone in my network to recommend an administrative support person, well, if that's not generating enough candidates, then here's the list of sites where we do post for the job. Upwork, which is the old Elance. There are tons of administrative support people on that website. We do post our posting on Craigslist, but not in my town. I tend to look for virtual administrative support people. So I'll have my administrative manager post a Craigslist posting in Craigslist in New York City, Los Angeles, Dallas, San Francisco, Chicago, Houston, big cities, you know, but, you know, once you've got the posting, you just copy and paste and you can put it on Craigslist in whatever city you want. But I'm looking for big markets because, you know, you have more candidates that way. We post on ZipRecruiter. We post on Indeed. There's a group called the International Association of Administrative Professionals where you can make a job posting. There's another company called administrationjobs.com. And there's the old, Robert Half is probably the oldest. I know this doesn't sound right, but 25 years ago, this company was called Kelly Girl. So they're Robert Half now. The point is they've been around for a long time. They have a section of their website exclusively for administrative support people. We always post on Robert Half as well. So that's pretty much it for where we post if we don't have enough candidates for only for an administrative job. Okay, so that's that. Keep moving ahead. So now this is something that many of you use. So before your eyes glaze over, just stick with me for a minute. I do use Evernote. I'm going to fly through this because a lot of you already use Evernote. There are two other applications that are substantially similar to Evernote. One is called Microsoft OneNote. Great product. Believe it's free. And so you can go in, start using Evernote, or if you prefer, because you use Microsoft Office products quite a bit, if you want to use Microsoft OneNote, it's excellent. There's another service called Google Keep. So Google Keep is another one of these types of services where you can literally just save anything and it doesn't matter the format it's in. More on that in just a minute, but it is I think of it almost as a garbage can that I actually use as a filing cabinet. It's like if I'm browsing on the internet and I find a website that I think a client could use, I'll clip the web. There is a browser extension for Evernote, and I will clip that website and pass it along to a client. Or if I'm come across something in our files, like a PDF or a Word document that an advisor might like, or is a tool that helps a client or something, I can attach a Word document or a PDF or something and file it in my Evernote or Microsoft OneNote, or if you use Google Keep, you can attach it to a note and you'll always be able to find it in your Evernote or OneNote or Google Keep. One thought about Google Keep, it is a free product. The reason I would never use Google Keep is because I've learned the hard way. Sometimes Google just stops, just shuts down a project. So I cannot imagine what would happen if I, instead of Evernote, I used Google Keep instead, which is a great product. But if at some point, 3 or 5 years from now, Google does, like they have with other things in the past, they just decide, oh, we're not going to offer this service anymore. I use Evernote to collect anything that I organize all my information, anything that I might need later, and I want to find easily, lightning fast. I want to go back and find it. I put it in Evernote. So I've got a file for each client on Evernote, a folder. I've got a folder for my daughter. So things that I think she might like, websites. I just put a note in there. I can type in a note. I could create a little video and save it in Evernote, or it could be an attachment like a Word document or a PDF. And if I've got all that stuff in Evernote, and if I were doing it in Google Keep instead, and they just took the service away, I've literally got everything, all of my personal information in a place that's at risk of that they could just, you know, it's a free product. So if they want to just shut it down, then all your information, you've got to migrate it somewhere else. And what a hassle. I'm telling you, even though you're not supposed to, I've got images of my driver's license and my passport in Evernote. And the great thing about all three of these products is they're accessible on any device. I don't care if you're on a Mac or a PC or an iPhone or an Android or a tablet computer or an iPad. I don't even care if you're using on your computer Linux instead of a traditional operating system. Evernote works on all devices. So I'll give you an example. I told you I have my passport and my driver's license in there. Well, would you guess I was at O'Hare Airport and I knew I had it in my luggage somewhere, but I could not find my ID. How stupid is that? I could not find, you know, passport, driver's license. So I'm trying to go through security and I'm just realizing I don't have, you know, any ID. How am I going to do this? So they're not supposed to do this, but I told the security people at the metal detector, I said, honestly, it's here in the luggage. I can spend 30 minutes to find it, or let me show you what it's going to show. And I pulled up Evernote on my smartphone and I showed them my passport. I showed them my driver's license. I even had an image of a book that I've written that had my picture on the cover of the book. And even though they shouldn't let me through, they did. So, you know, what happens if all of that information is in Evernote? Literally every piece, sliver of information in my life that I've collected, articles or websites or just typed in a note, or, you know, Bill Bachrach or Rick Barrera says something brilliant and I just type in a note. You know, I keep it in Evernote because I might need that information for an advisor, for myself. You know, I put Bible quotes in there. Anything that I might need in the future, I put it in Evernote. And so that's how I use Evernote. And it's easy to find, evernote.com. And they have the best structure for pricing. It's my favorite structure for websites and software as a service. It's a freemium model. And same with Loom. A lot of these services, they've figured it out. If they can give it to you for free, then if you end up really using it and you need more space on their server to save your passport and all everything in your life, then I've got pictures of every house I've ever lived in back to when I was 3 years old. I mean, it takes up space. So at some point, you sign up for free and you get to use it for a long, long time. Then at some point, you get a note from them saying, well, you're trying to save something and you're out of space. Do you want to become a paid member? So it's called a freemium model because you get free service until you need a more premium version. And then you can decide whether you want to pay or not. And I just love software that's set up that way. And it's real easy to find Evernote.com or OneNote or Google Keep. I think you can find these tools easily on the web. Moving on, another tool that I use is Slack. All right, what is Slack? And I realize this is the Advisor Pack monthly program, and most of you are generally aware that I've got our flagship program that we offer is the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So many of the people on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So what is the toolkit? The toolkit is a place where your team comes to, in essence, know what to do for a particular meeting with a particular client. All right, so the way it works is, and the Trusted Advisor Toolkit is mainly software. So there's a lot of content, like 300 webinars. It's got tons and tons and tons, almost an encyclopedic amount of content. But it costs $1,000 a month, the toolkit. So, you know, it's only good for advisors that have the need for the software part of the toolkit, not so much just the information that's there. So what is the software? Well, imagine this. You've got all your ideal clients. Let's say you've got a handful of ideal clients, 10, let's say. Let's say you have 10 ideal clients. In our model, we have a three-meeting process. So, and we recommend and we ask that you schedule the three meetings with every ideal client for the next 12 months at all times. So you've got three meetings on the schedule with your ideal clients over the next 12 months at all times. So if you have 10 ideal clients, that means you've got 30 client progress meetings over the next 12 months. So what the toolkit does is your administrative manager would go into the toolkit, enter your ideal client's name, and then schedule those three meetings over the next 12 months in the toolkit. And what that means is the toolkit's going to create a website for your team to go to for that meeting with that client on that date. So there's going to be three what we call online meeting plans set up for each ideal client. So your team can go, let's say you have a meeting 60 days from now with a client. Well, in the toolkit, you would go to that online meeting plan for that meeting with that client on that date 60 days from now. And it has for each SME the checklist of things that each SME needs to do. As a matter of fact, the toolkit is where all the SMEs go for that meeting with that client on that date to either find the documents that they need in order to do their work. So they would go to the toolkit to download the clients, whatever, tax returns and whatever they need to do their work. And when they complete their work for that meeting, all the action items and recommendations and analysis and spreadsheets, whatever they create to prepare for the upcoming meeting, that would be linked to in the toolkit as well. So sounds very organized, and it is. It's only good for advisors that have a lot of ideal clients that they're trying to manage, or if you're adding ideal clients quickly. You don't need the toolkit if you don't have many ideal clients or you're not adding clients quickly. Question is, what are all these other software programs around it that you might need? Well, as effective as the toolkit is, and it fills a gap that no other software available can can deliver. In other words, it's for a meeting. What are all the organized checklists that need to occur to consistently exceed an ideal client's expectations? So it's a checklist system, in essence. Then why would you need, let's say, a project management system? Well, that's where you create workflows, like who does what and when. You can automate workflows in a project management system, and the Trusted Advisor Toolkit doesn't do that. So it does have the checklist for the meeting coming up 60 days from now. But if there's a workflow for all the things that happen between now and the next 60 days, you would pick a project management software system like Asana or Trello, or I use one called Yanato, but there's tons of them. There, you know, project management is different from creating a checklist of items that have to get done over the course of every 12-month period for every ideal client. You know, what has to get done is on the toolkit. How all that's done and who does it and by what deadline, how many days are you going to give them to do each of these action items? That's a separate software system called project management. So then what is Slack? Well, Slack's neither of those. It's not the toolkit. It's not project management. It's in essence a communication tool for your deliverables team. So it's easy to find. Again, it's a freemium model. You can set up a Slack account for free. And then when you start using it a lot, at some point they'll say, well, you need to pay now if you like it. So what is it? Well, Slack is a place where all your team comes together and where your team comes together to communicate with each other. All right. So you go to Slack, you download it. It's a separate application. And I want you to think of it as just a place where you would SMS text everybody on your team. So it operates very much like texting on your mobile device, but it's in an encrypted area so that from a compliance standpoint, as you're talking about clients and confidential information, it's internal to your team and it's secured. It's a secured environment that operates very much like when you're texting people on your mobile device. But you end up on Slack creating what they call channels. Okay, so in Slack, you set up channels. Now, what is a channel? A channel could be a project that your team is working on. But for us, the way we use Slack is we set up a channel for every client progress meeting over the next 60 days. So we have Ted and Lynn Smith channel because that progress meeting is coming up in 60 days. So what did we do? We set up the channel for that meeting with that client on that date, all right? So we've got that channel set up so that people could communicate about that project. So we consider every client progress meeting to be a project. That's why we set up a channel for all client progress meetings over the next 60 days. Then I have my administrative manager go on to that Slack channel and pose a question to the SME. So all your subject matter experts are on Slack. So they've already got their account set up and they know where to find your Slack channels. And so then your administrative manager sets up this channel for the client progress meeting with Ted and Lynn Smith coming up 60 days from now. And then my administrative manager will pose a question and invite all the SMEs that are assigned to that client, which there are always five. And the first thing that we need is from each SME, what do you think is the biggest issue that's going to be coming up at this next meeting with this client? So each of the five may have a different opinion on this because they're each looking at different areas of finance. But the first thing my administrative manager will do 60 days before a client progress meeting is to say, hey, when you think about Ted and Lynn Smith, I need each of the five of you SMEs to propose here on Slack what you think the highest priority conversation needs to be when Mark sits down with them 60 days on, you know, whatever the date is of the meeting. And again, in Slack, I'll create little Loom videos posing the question, which my administrative manager uses over and over and over. But you know, you can post little embedded Loom videos in each channel, inviting the SMEs to clarify what you're wanting. But I just have my administrative manager pose questions, and then they start talking amongst themselves. So we encourage the SMEs to come into Slack, especially in those channels set up for a particular client progress meeting. And we have them talk about that client, what the issues are, and they're looking for crossover issues. So the tax accountant is trying to see, are there any money management issues coming up? Are there any taxable events? Or, you know, if let's say the insurance SME has a question for the estate planning SME that's related to the wills and trusts, Slack is just a place where in that channel for that meeting with that client coming up every 60 days, the team can talk about just that client, and they can brainstorm things that need to get done to impress that client. They can talk about what they think is the highest priority conversation that needs to be confronted at the next meeting. But this is where you're encouraging your subject matter experts to collaborate with each other in an easy place. So my SMEs, my subject matter experts are all over the country. They're virtual. What Slack does, it puts them in one location where they can chat with each other about a client. All right. So I'll monitor these conversations. So in the channel for the meeting that's coming up 60 days from now with Ted and Lynn Smith, I'll go in there and read what the SMEs are talking to each other about, trying to figure out what can we be doing, what needs to happen for this client first and foremost, but what could we be doing that impresses them? Well, I'll go in and monitor what they're talking about, and maybe I'll remind the SMEs of things the client has told me over time about what they expect from this relationship with our firm. Okay. So this is part of the Advisor Pack program. We tell you that you need to make a pledge to the client that, you know, you're going to, it's protection, attention, coordination, transparency, but you always ask the client almost at every meeting, you know, how are we doing? You know, if we're sitting here a year from now and we're knocking your socks off, what does that look like? What do you expect from this relationship with an advisor like me and with my team in place? And so I always share what the client says in answer to that question with the team. And as I'm reading and monitoring the channel about that client, because they're preparing for the upcoming client progress meeting, I will remind the SMEs of what the client has said they expect from us. So that's pretty much it. I don't see any questions on any of these apps. Consider it like a Christmas present. These are some tools that I use that have really helped us exceed our clients' expectations, or things we use in the background that just organizes information so that when I'm on the phone with a client, I can pull up information quickly. You know, these are all tools that I use. And, you know, the thing is, there is a trap with all this technology. There's so many great applications out there. Advisors sometimes forget that these are all just cool tools. This is not the value the client places in you. I was talking with an advisor the other day, and they were saying, oh, our client, we have eMoney Advisor, and our clients love that because it aggregates all their accounts. And that's the value we provide our client. They can log in and see all their accounts on one place. And even though these accounts of theirs are all at different institutions, I'm like, no. That's just a cool tool. From a client perspective, this is not what they value about you. They value you. Your apps and tools and things like eMoney Advisor, all these things are just cool tools. They're not actually client deliverables. Unfortunately, advisors sometimes think that they are. They think that some of these things that they give clients access to really differentiates them in the marketplace, and that's a client deliverable that knocks the client's socks off. Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You're much better off thinking, no, all that stuff that we use, technology, these are just cool tools. They're in the background. This is absolutely not what our client values about this relationship. They value you and your team. I remember this conversation, which started about 6 years ago, around robo-advisors. And it was saying in all the industry publications, well, clients are going to be able to just log into Betterment or one of these robo-advisors, and it'll just take the advisor out of the picture. They could go online and get all their investment management and everything, all their advisor work done through artificial intelligence and without you as a professional advisor. I'm like, no, that may be something 30 years from now, who knows the timing on it, but it's definitely not now. These technologies are not what affluent clients are looking for. And granted, I'll agree with you. Not every affluent client is seeking what you're offering, which in this Advisor Pack monthly program, what we're showing you how to do is to implement truly comprehensive financial services and in a way that consistently exceeds clients' expectations. Well, let me just remind you, you and your SMEs are the deliverables, not the cool tools that you offer to your clients or any technology, because the client can't get advice from technology. Like if they signed up with a robo-advisor to make a recommendation as to their investment mix and allocation and then to set all that up and pull the trigger and buy those investments, those tools, they may be very, very cool tools. You might, and from my perspective, you may even offer some of these through your services. But again, it's just a cool tool. The client will never look at a robo-advisor without your being present and ask the technology, well, what do you think I should do? In other words, this technology is just going to lay out what it thinks is appropriate and suitable for this client in terms of asset allocation and investments. But affluent clients who are seeking truly comprehensive financial services, what they value is a conversation. How many times have you had a client look at you after you've made a recommendation and they just lean in and they look you in the eye and they say, do you think I should do this? If this were you, is this what you would do? That's a fiduciary question. And no technology, well, at least not anything in the foreseeable future, no client of yours is going to have a relationship with a robo-advisor at that deep level. So for now, and for the rest of your career, probably at least for the next 20 years, this relationship that they value, this relationship that offers truly comprehensive financial services, where you sit down and say, here's what you should do and why. And when they look you in the eye and say, do you really think I should do this? And you say, you give them your heartfelt response as to why you're recommending it. And yes, as a fiduciary, if this were my situation, it's exactly what I would do. That's the definition of a fiduciary. And that is something that artificial intelligence cannot do. And I think at the current state of technology, we're not anywhere close to an affluent client trusting a machine with those kinds of questions. You're the only one that can answer a question like that. And a robo-advisor is focused on a particular area, mainly investment advice. So truly comprehensive financial services does not just focus on investment advice. It's five areas of the client's life. You know, we have investments, yes, money management, but also tax, estate planning, risk and insurance, and everything in between. All the areas beyond investment advice is included in your service, and the relationship with you is what they value. And so I just wanted to leave you with the thought, this technology, all these tools that you offer your clients or you use in meetings with your clients, this is not what they value. It's the relationship that they trust with you. That's the deliverable. Okay, before we leave, I just want to point out, as I always do, if you have questions that make it through to me, all you have to do is click on the Contact Us link on the Advisor Pack Monthly program. It's in the upper right-hand corner. And just note this, when you click Contact Us, if you want me to see it, you need to click here to leave a voice message for Mark. Those are the only ones I ever listen that get through to me. You are offered an opportunity to type in your question, sort of like as an email. Just know this, if it's a technical question or if you have a question about the Advisor Pack Monthly Program, that's fine. Type in your question, but just know this, my staff responds to those. So if you have a question about a client, you have a question about a staff member, you have a question about how all these cool technology tools fit together for you, hit contact us. Click here to leave a voice message for Mark. Basically, it will pull up this website and you click start recording, and that gets delivered directly to my inbox, and I'll respond to you with whatever you're struggling with. So that's it for this month. I wish you a happy holiday, if it's appropriate, Merry Christmas, and we will see you next month. Until next time, I'm Mark Little.